Welcome to Think About Policy, a podcast series brought to you by the Global Alliance for Behavioral Health and Social Justice. I'm your host, Geeta Jaffe. The Global Alliance is an interdisciplinary organization with a long history dedicated to informing policy, practice, and research. For almost 100 years, we have been advancing the conversation about key issues at the intersection of human rights, social justice, and behavioral health. Today's episode on mental health in Tanzania, a human rights perspective, features Hilda Tzeba, an assistant lecturer in law at the University of Dar es Salaam and the executive director of Guided Path, a nonprofit community organization focused on mental health. Hilda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Geeta.
So I think what we want to start off with is if you could please discuss the protections that exist under mental health law in Tanzania today.
Okay, so great question, by the way. So when it comes to mental health in Tanzania, the protections that are offered are mainly to protect people with mental disabilities or disorders from, you know, exploitation and basically abuse of their condition. So basic, for example, we have the Law of Contract Act, which considers a person legally competent to enter into a contract if they're considered to be of sound mind. And the aim of this law is, you know, to protect people with mental disorders and disabilities from being exploited into entering into contracts that do not serve their interests. Other protections also are found in the Mental Health Act, which the law requires mental health patients to be protected from inhuman and degrading treatment, you know, and protection from abuse and exploitation. And these are all quite commendable efforts, I must say. But let's say if I go back to my first point about the Law of Contract Act with persons with mental disabilities, or let's say considered of unsound mind, not being able to enter into contracts, this has other implications as well, which I'm sure we'll discuss further. So as much as the protections are there, the protections somehow inadvertently lead to, let's say, a legal dilemma for persons with mental disabilities, because on one hand, the law is trying to protect you, but on the other hand, the same law ends up affecting persons with mental disabilities at the same time.
But very interesting. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more on how these laws are impacting individuals, impacting families, and also the greater community.
Okay, so for example, in terms of impacting individuals, let's say the law which requires that only a person that is considered to be of sound mind can enter into a contract. It affects other parts of their social lives as well. For example, the ability to marry, because basically under Tanzanian law, a marriage is a contract. And so if a person is considered to be of unsound mind, it means they cannot enter into a contract, and a marriage is a contract, so they cannot marry and start a family. One of the most basic rights that almost every human being deserves to enjoy if they want to. They are also not allowed to vote for the same implication that they're considered to be of unsound mind. But also one of the interesting things all about mental health protection in Tanzania is that, for example, under our labor laws, you find that there are certain factors that are expressly provided within the labor law that employers are not supposed to use against their employees. For example, employers are not supposed to discriminate employees based on their HIV status. So that is expressly provided for in the law. But whereas when it comes to mental health, that is not specified within the law. So it somehow leaves discretion and loophole for employers to discriminate someone based on their mental health, maybe in the past or present, but it leaves that loophole for exploitation, abuse, and discrimination. So in terms of individuals, that's how persons with mental disabilities or disorders may be affected by these laws. And in terms of the community and society at large, I think the law somehow is a reflection of society, and it also influences society. So when we see the law categorizing or prohibiting persons with disabilities from enjoying certain rights, or you find that there's still certain laws in Tanzania, such as the Criminal Procedure Act, that utilize labels such as idiot, lunatic, or imbecile, the society starts to get this connotation that people suffering from mental disabilities are lesser than due to such labels that are being utilized. And it just ends up perpetuating stigma and discrimination of persons suffering from mental health issues, as opposed to finding a rather inclusive way to provide support for persons with mental health issues.
Well, thank you so much for those explanations. I'm wondering what your thoughts are moving forward. What do you believe are the top priorities in policy and practice for well-being in Tanzania?
Oh, wow. So that is such a broad question. I'll try. There's so many things to think about, so I'll just try highlight a few. But first of all, if you notice from my answers, I was talking about the protection of persons with mental illnesses and disorders. The way we currently view mental health as a society, it's more related to mental health as a disease. For example, even previously, the Mental Health Act was called the Mental Diseases Act. So it's like mental health is considered on two extremes. It's either you're completely fine or you're completely sick. Something which is not true, because mental health lies on a spectrum. You know, all of us are suffering from mental health issues in one way or another. So if there's something that I'll suggest in terms of improvement, is as much as we should improve the mental health facilities that we currently have for persons with, you know, severe mental health disorders and illnesses, we should also try to make mental health care more common, just as physical care, even for cases that are not as extreme. In case someone just needs to go to counseling or therapy about a certain issue or traumatic event that they've been through, those services should be easily available. And I think that is something that can be included within the mental health policy, to try and find a way where mental health care is included within the primary healthcare services. So that's one. And then something else that I found is a bit of concern is there's protection for people with mental health issues in terms of, you know, providing guardianship and, you know, people taking care of their interests. But I haven't really seen a monitoring mechanism of these guardians, because this leaves open room for persons being affected by mental health issues being abused or exploited by the very so-called guardians that are supposed to protect them. So it's good that they've made a step forward, you know, in terms of making sure that their guardians who are able to protect their interests, in whether it's entering, you know, legal relations in terms of buying property or running an estate or whatever. But is there a way to monitor these guardians to make sure that they're actually acting in the interests of these people? I think that is something that is not yet being thought about in the law, and it's something worth exploring. And finally, I think the most important thing is to fully express and set the tone for how persons with mental health illnesses are to be treated in terms of international human rights principles. So, like, Tanzania is a signatory to the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So I think if the law fully states that persons suffering from mental illnesses are to be treated in accordance with the provisions of the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities, that's a start. And then we can improve it further. That's the bare minimum that we can do. But basically, at least for the Mental Health Act to expressly state that, you know, persons with mental disabilities are to be treated with dignity and respect, you know, be protected from inhuman and degrading treatment, be treated with respect in terms of access to information, you know, information about their basic rights, such as, you know, understanding, for example, voluntary admission into mental health facilities and what it implies and what are the consequences, and protecting them from unjustifiable involuntary admissions. That's another thing in terms of protecting their dignity and personhood. So I think fully emphasizing on the human rights and the principles to which persons suffering from mental disabilities are to be accorded is one of the major things, because once they're treated with respect and dignity, I believe other things will follow suit, and it will lead to better treatment and how we view mental health as a society.
Hilda, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some insight in terms of policy and practice on mental health in Tanzania. We truly appreciate it, and thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Think About Policy. We really appreciated our conversation today with Hilda Tazeba about the impact of mental health policy on families and their communities in Tanzania and the recommendations to promote well-being across the life course. Hilda will be a panelist at an upcoming meeting in Tanzania on mental health that is tentatively scheduled for June 2021, where she will be presenting some of these ideas to national stakeholders. We hope to have her share about that experience on our blog, so stay tuned for more from Hilda. As always, you can find the Global Alliance on the web at bhjustice.org and on social media at All for BH Justice, where you can join us in thinking about policy.